It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Hello and welcome to Forward Nation Radio. Thank you for joining us at home and in our studio audience on this, the first anniversary of the temporary or permanent end of civilization as we know it, or as it's known in the White House, National Pussy Grabbing Day. turns out the anniversary of Trump's election was a happier occasion than expected. Not because of the Trump election, but because we had elections of our own the last couple of days. And turns out the elections went awfully well.
Yeah.
Better than expected. In fact, sort of a sea change. Don't tell Trump, who is in Asia selling steaks and scaring the hell out of people, that he might go off script and start World War III. But the elections went tremendously well. Areas that were historically and safely Republican have switched. Here in New York, Westchester County and probably Nassau County have actually gone with Democratic legislators, Democratic executives, in a very unusual move. In Virginia, you've all heard about how the top statewide positions were swept by the Democrats in a landslide. You may also know that as we go to press right now, the Virginia House of Delegates is still up for grabs. With some races too close to call, the Democrats may have managed to take over the House of Delegates. Now, why is this, you might say, well, if it's such a landslide, why didn't the Democrats take over the House of Delegates? And of course, the answer to that is gerrymandering. And so we're at the point right now where we are reminded once again that the United States Supreme Court is going to demonstrate very shortly, whether five of its members have an iota of integrity in preserving U.S. elections. Because what's happened in Virginia is indicative of the fact that Virginian Republican legislators have carved legislative districts in such a way that they felt that the House of Delegates was completely insulated from the will of the voters. So the idea that it may possibly have flipped is remarkable. What does this mean? I was asked in class today. I assume I'm being asked right now. What does this mean for you? Certainly do not rest on your laurels. Yesterday was a victory of the forces of reason over the forces of absolute insanity, especially as evidenced in Virginia, where Republican gubernatorial candidate Ed Gillespie, who is the quintessential swamp thing, a lobbyist extraordinaire who has spent his life lobbying for every corporate scumbag on the planet, decided that he would go full Trump because that wasn't bad enough in order to win, and he got slaughtered. And why? As they pieced through the wreckage, I think what we're gonna find out is that people were motivated. People on the right side, correct side, were motivated. What does this mean for you? Yes, there's a year until the next major elections, congressional elections. It is not too early to start your activism now. Be inspired by this. The most cogent statement I heard last night was someone saying, what this means is it will embolden the Democrats and the Democratic leadership. Let's hope. Make sure that you are registered to vote if you are capable of registering a vote for voting. Make sure your friends and your family members, not the crazy ones, you can leave them alone, but the ones who might actually vote intelligently, make sure that they are registered. Volunteer with an organization such as People for the American Way to do canvassing or phone banking, calling people from the privacy of your own home. This is America, so presumably very few people will answer. But occasionally somebody will pick up the phone and maybe you can convince them to go out and vote. This is the time to be active and remain committed for at least another year. Okay, elsewhere in the news, the Paradise Papers, or How Trumpists Bank. Yes, the entirety of the Trump administration, in case you haven't heard this one, pretty much the entirety of the Trump administration. The International Consortium for Investigative Journalists released leaked documents. Yes, that's right, leaked documents. That wonderful thing, leakers, you know, the things that Trump hates. Leaked documents to, and I've been practicing this all day, Süddeutsche Zeitung. That's the German law firm. I ain't saying it again. I expect some applause for that one. Thank you. I had help from one of my German students with that. I hope I got it right. But with the help of that law firm, that, whose name should be gotten right, because this is now the second group of papers that has leaked after the Panama Papers. What do these papers show? Well, among other things, it shows that more than a dozen Trump cabinet members and donors have been socking money away abroad or have been involved with businessmen or businesses that they're not really supposed to be involved in. Talking about you, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who responded to the news by saying in part, "How was I to know?" Which, when it comes to his being on the board of directors, almost makes sense, because they don't do anything except rubber stamp corporate theft. But still, you kind of expect the Commerce Secretary to have a little bit better idea who he is in bed with. So what do the Paradise Papers show? Well, it shows individuals socking billions or trillions of dollars in overseas accounts for several reasons, but all having to do with hiding their wealth. It is estimated, I will give you some figures now over the next couple of minutes. All of these come from reputable sources, but the figures are inherently estimates because it's pretty hard to come up with an actual figure for these things. But it has been estimated that 8% of US household wealth is held in offshore accounts at the cost to the United States Treasury of $190 billion a year. An organization, Global Financial Integrity, estimate that transnational criminal activities accounted for $1.6 to $2.2 trillion a year. Trillion with a T, international criminal activities, including laundered money. Did I hear you say Paul Manafort? That's right, this is Paul Manafort's backyard. Laundered money, it's estimated, ranges from 2 to 5% of global GDP. Among the criminals hiding their money abroad to avoid taxes, to engage in criminal transactions, also, this was fun to read, these are lovely people hiding money from spouses, which, if just to say, you're in the business of buying spouses from Eastern European nations, might be a good idea to hide some money from them when the time comes. Also, if you're used to discarding them after a few years. It's not just individuals, of course. Corporations, foreign accounts were also leaked. Corporations have, it is estimated, more than 7.6 trillion with a T, dollars held in offshore accounts away from US taxing authorities. And of course, in this case, they are always in tax-free or low-tax destinations, tax havens. Apple's Tim Cook testified recently, "We don't stash money on some Caribbean island," he said in anger. And it turns out the papers may bear him out. No, he stashes it, Apple stashes it, in an island in the English Channel, Jersey, where Apple has more than 128 billion dollars offshore, away from US taxpayers. In fact, for Apple, more than two-thirds of its profits are earned offshore, despite the fact that very little of its profits are earned offshore. But for accounting purposes, that's where they go. released was a list of the top 20 in profits parked offshore. Apple was number one, followed closely by Pfizer and Microsoft and other exemplary corporate citizens showing the true nature of corporate ethics, i.e., whatever I can get away with. To the probable disappointment of our current Secretary of State, ExxonMobil barely cracks the top 10. Rex Tillerson's former company is number 10 in hiding money offshore. Such schemes cost world governments perhaps up to $240 billion a year. Money that could be used for schools, roads, airports, homeland security, but instead is going to wealthy tax cheats. That, according to a 2015 OECD, Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, estimate. Applebee, the bank involved, the firm involved, is one of a huge network of corporate tax cheating facilitators. Included in that list is the giant U.S. law firm, Baker McKenzie, that has been helping companies and people park their money offshore out of reach of criminal authorities in some cases and regulators and tax authorities. Oh, I'm putting the mind of Baker McKenzie, I just discussed in one of my classes, at least as of a few years ago, given current news, this is worth mentioning. Baker McKenzie had been the defendant in the largest sexual harassment verdict in the history of the country. I don't know if that has since been eclipsed. That has been a few years ago. Yes, this is indicating when you look at the huge network of facilitators, the lawyers, the bankers, the accountants, the everybody involved in this, the thousands of people who are making a living by helping criminals and scumbags cheat. What a society. You know what we need when we see this kind of corporate individual ethics? Less regulation, of course. Well, what else do we need? How do Republicans plan to respond to these wealthy scumbags hiding money overseas? By lowering their taxes, of course. What else? What else would you do when you have somebody like this? You lower their taxes. The Republican tax plan allows for a repatriation holiday. That is specifically to take ill-gained foreign profits and bring them back to America, thus rewarding this kind of behavior. Bring it back to America at ridiculously low taxes under an amnesty program. Yeah, I know, Republicans don't like amnesty. This amnesty they're okay with, just not for human beings. Corporate amnesty is fine. This one, they're fine. Bring the money back because it's going to be used to create jobs. Except, oh wait, no it's not. Because if they wanted to create jobs in America, the money would be here already. But if you can't trust someone who's hiding billions of dollars in profits overseas, who can you trust? So, also we have a 10% rate proposal from the Republicans on some of these offshore profits. In other words, giving these companies an incentive to do even more of this. What you're going to hear now from the right, it's already started, is you are going to hear how if we lower taxes on all these criminal scumbags, then they won't cheat on their taxes. If you already have millions or billions of dollars and you're hiding money overseas to make a little bit more, does that argument strike you as true? That if you lower the tax rate, all of a sudden these people are going to go, okay, now I'll pay my taxes. That's good, because that's a rate I could actually go with. I'm okay with that. It doesn't pass the smell test. They're not going to do that. But aside from anything else, that it's not going to work. How offensive is this? What other criminals do we pay not to be criminals? Which is in effect exactly what they're saying. Why don't we pay ISIS $1 trillion a year not to hurt us? How well would that go over? How about Harvey Weinstein? How about to cut down on his rapes, we say, okay, you can have 3 free rapes a year. That's it. 3 free rapes a year, that's it. After that, you gotta cut it off. If you're offended by what I'm saying, good, you should be. This is pathetic. It's awful. You don't coddle criminals. Here's another proposal from Forward Nation Radio. You get caught cheating on your taxes by more than, say, $1 million by hiding money offshore. The punishment is we take away all your money, everything. Every asset you and your family has, gone, taken away. Get to the street and start begging. What do you think that would do for tax cheating? Let's take a couple of those tax billionaire tax cheaters and let's take all their assets away. Or we could just pay them and hope they don't tax cheat. That could work too. Yeah. Okay, so we don't want to leave out the latest shooting massacre. We don't want to talk too much about it either, because frankly, the show has other things to talk about than shootings or mass murders, and we can't talk about each one because that would take up the entire show. This is not about terrorism, in part because it was a white guy. Oh, for shame. Tell me that when you first heard about this, when you first heard that 26 people were murdered in a Texas church, your first thought was not, oh my God, I hope it wasn't a Muslim. Oh my God, I hope it was just some crazy person. Oh my God, I hope it's not going to give some excuse to go out and do something bad to Muslims again. Thanks to Trump, this country has become so nativist, it's passed to tribalist. We are tribes at this point. And we all look at this incredible tragedy and think, oh, thank God it's not this guy or that guy or whatever. Thank God it's not my group. Kind of pathetic. So Russia, just briefly, because I want to move on today and make sure we finish our discussions of why this country is so insane. Sam Clovis, who was actually, turns out, tied up with the Paradise Papers, he had recently withdrawn his nomination for an important Agriculture Department post. But here's the key. He withdrew his nomination because in order to get approved, he would have had to testify under oath. And right now, they are all scared shitless to testify under oath. If they go in front of Congress, a Democrat might start asking them questions about Russia and their involvement that they cannot answer without committing a crime. Then there was one. Almost the Agatha Christie story. Yes, everybody, we're proud to be an American. We always knew that America was the exceptional country, American exceptionalism, and now we are exceptional. In what way? Syria just signed on to the Paris Climate Accords, leaving the United States alone in the world in not having signed on to the Paris Agreement to combat climate change. Go us. At least we stand during the national anthem, so that's good. We're patriots. And last bit, the Saudi Arabia imbroglio. The one thing that I thought was entertaining about that was seeing the name Al-Walid bin Talal, who was mixed up in this. You don't need to really know this name. However, and I hope we could put this up on our website, it reminded me of the Daily Show clip from a few years ago, where it was pointed out that Fox News was all over the so-called 9/11 mosque because a Muslim group wanted to build a community center. It wasn't a mosque. It also wasn't 9/11. It was near the 9/11 site. And they were up in arms in part because it was backed by this mysterious Saudi wealthy financier, Muslim, you know. And Fox News was all over this. What's the funny part of this story? Al-Walid bin Talal, it turns out, is Fox News's second biggest owner. Owns more shares than anybody, at least he did at the time, I think he still does, than Rupert Murdoch. Fox News managed to leave that out of the discussions. But there's Al-Walid bin Talal back in the news. So how did we get this crazy? Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. How did we get this crazy? How did we get to the point where Fox News can go on the air and say things that are so damn stupid, and yet their viewers actually watch it and believe it. How did people on the right in this country become so deluded on issues so important to this country? Just a few. 17% of Republicans, these are all recent polls, 17% of Republicans think that Russian hacking is a big threat to US elections. 13% believe in human caused climate change. One half of Republicans still believe in Pizzagate. The story of Hillary Clinton running a child sex ring through the basement of a Washington pizza restaurant. Sorry, I just had the shivers there for a minute. running a child sex ring. You think I covered for that one pretty well? I'm trying. Running a child sex ring from the basement of a Washington pizza restaurant that did not have a basement, and that led an armed man to show up to find out there was no basement, and idiot, it's stupid. Okay? Donald Trump keeps saying that his tax plan doesn't benefit the wealthy. He keeps being told that it does. He keeps saying it, and they keep believing it. More than half of Republicans, I think it was 70-something percent of Republicans, still believe that Obama is an illegitimate president. 58% of Republicans believe that college is a bad thing for America. 87% of Republicans believe that Donald Trump sometimes says something that's untrue. I know that seems like a high number, but that means 13% of Republicans believe that truly one of the most pathological, biggest liars on the planet doesn't lie. 36% do not believe that freedom of the press is important. How did we get this crazy? And I know some people are going to say, well, it's not just Republicans. But actually, it pretty much is. Let's avoid false equivalences at this point. This is a hallmark of the right, not the left. So how have we gotten this misinformed? First, of course, is our willingness to believe whatever suits us. We believe what is in our self-interest to believe. As Upton Sinclair famously said, it is difficult to get a man to believe something when his paycheck tells him to believe otherwise. In our case, we put our positions, our integrity, our self-esteem on the line with our opinions, and we're not willing to change our minds. We have to double down on crazy. We are hyper-partisan as a country. We choose sides. We are tribal. And we identify with whatever tribe we are on. The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, in a recent case, referred to sociological evidence as gobbledygook. Why? Because he didn't like it. It wasn't what he wanted to believe. So he dismisses, admittedly soft scientific evidence, but the only evidence that was presented, because he didn't like it. Right before, when Obama was president, 22% of Republicans thought it was a good thing when he bombed Syria. When Trump became president, that number swelled to 86%. Nothing else had changed. Emails. The Republicans were screaming, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. That was the mantra for the election. But now that we find out that the Trump administration and Trump family have been doing the same thing Hillary did, you don't hear a peep from them because it's not their side. They were all intent on impeaching Bill Clinton. But Donald Trump, for perhaps being in league with a hostile foreign power, we don't consider impeachment for Republicans. This has led to an inability to change our mind. We have the terrible misfortune of being both the most misinformed people or uninformed people on the planet, and yet at the same time, arrogant in believing that we are better than everybody else. It is a lethal combination. So we have this inability to change our mind. It's not a smart or stupid thing. Some of the smartest people I know say things that are so stupid you can't believe it. Smart people who say, why are you rooting for Trump to fail and picking on him on all this terrible thing about Russia? Or say things like, there's no reason to think Sarah Palin would have been any worse a vice president than Joe Biden. Smart people who believe this shit. Because they've identified themselves so strongly with one side, they can't ever switch. That's why this whole thing with Caleb Keeter, the drummer, the country music drummer who performed in Las Vegas on the day of the shootings there, the massacre there, said, I've changed my mind on gun control, and this was so shocking, and got him death threats from the right. How dare you change your mind? This is your team. We don't do that. And what makes this worse is the extent to which resentment motivates the right. Resentment is what motivates Trump voters more than anything else. It is what motivates Fox News viewers more than anything else. It is 24-hour anger and victimhood and, oh, they're coming to take your whatever. Just 24 hours of ratcheting up the resentment. Yes, it's easy because of the extent of racism and other forms of bigotry among their viewers, but it goes beyond that. The right-wing media is just all about building resentment because angry people are easily controlled. And again, there's no false equivalence here. It's not the same on the left and the right. Maybe it's a hallmark of the very nature of conservatism, which means you don't generally like change. You're resistant to change. On the left, you're more open to change. So it's different. The Republicans, does anybody think if the roles were reversed that Hillary Clinton would not have been impeached 100 times already?
No.
In the House of Representatives? Because she would have been. But the Democrats are all, let's wait, it's not the appropriate thing to do. Our people don't want us to be that angry and that nasty. Added to this inability to change our mind is the fact that we get to go forum shopping. We get to look for whatever information confirms our beliefs in the first place. This is the social media crap that we've been seeing. The reason that Russia propaganda worked in America, in fact, where it didn't work in a lot of foreign countries where people are more educated and more thoughtful, was that people were so willing to believe this shit because it's what they wanted to believe. 126 million accounts on Facebook were affected by Russian propaganda. For 125 million of them, it was probably the only news they got. And this was way before Russia. Social media, email has been used to spread right-wing lies for years. I have been using right-wing emails that were bullshit to spread propaganda in one of my classes for 15 years. This is nothing new. You have gotten these emails. They are lies. They are purportedly shared by your friends, but they're frequently not, or your friends are thoughtless. We don't have editors in social media, and we don't have editors on the internet, which goes hand in hand with social media in allowing people to find whatever news is out there that will allow them to believe whatever they need to believe. Forum shopping for news. The FCC at this moment is working to eliminate net neutrality in order to make this even worse, because now you won't just be able to forum shop on your own. If you're actually looking for independent real news, the internet sites, the internet service providers will be able to slow them down so you decide it's time to go elsewhere, like perhaps Fox News. But what about the media that most of us get our information from? The corporate media, the mass media. What other options do we have to get out of this problem, and why aren't they working? We will continue our discussion and explore this issue on next week's show. Like Looking Forward, go to ForwardNationRadio.com. That's ForwardNationRadio.com and get the full experience. You will see the video from this and every episode there. And apparently some tasty conversations to boot. On our YouTube channel as well, don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell your friends, spread the word. Forward Nation Radio, see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio.